Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. It's the other version, Matthew. Truth and the life, that's what Jesus said. Let me just show the keyboard on the track. I am the
Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Give everyone a warm welcome into the service tonight in the name of the Lord. It's a lovely evening. It's good to be gathered in His name. Please keep this weekend in prayer for Sunday morning service. On Sunday evening, Brother Gary's going to be preaching, and I'll be preaching on Sunday evening as well in Castle Dawson. It's a new wee work started up, and they're getting a lot of unsaved people to come in, and it's a good opportunity for to preach the gospel. Now we're real betwixt tonight, two messages. One not prepared but feeling it's for somebody. Another one that's prepared. So what do? Preach the two of them. Praise the Lord. Let's read tonight Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18. And I've been thinking, apart from Ephesians 6 18, I've been thinking about the unjust judge and the wee woman, and she kept on coming. And eventually she was avenged. And I tell you, sometimes we need to keep on coming. We need to keep on knocking. Amen. You know, I listened to Jack Coe years ago, the original Jack Coe, and he preached from that scripture. And he says, I can see the judge in the hallway, and he'd only one hair left on his head, and he praised it. And he said he was bald. It sounded a bit like me. And he said he had tried every medication to make his hair grow, alcohol and all sorts of stuff he had rubbed into his scalp. And he says the woman kept coming, and she tortured him that much, he pulled the last hair out, and he avenged her. Well, I don't know if he had one hair or two hairs, but I'll tell you what, God is the white judge, isn't it? The God we serve. And it's encouragement to keep on coming, isn't it? Let's read this verse 18, one verse of Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and with all supplication for all saints. Let's just pray tonight, and if you have a need, and we want to thank the Lord when He does answers. God's definitely been answering for me, and may continue and press down and running over the top. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight with thanksgiving in our heart. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you most of all for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious shed blood, shed to wash away all our sins. Father, we plead the merits of that precious blood afresh on our own lives and afresh in this room and on our families tonight over the unsaved and the saved. We plead your precious blood. We ask that you'll save the unsaved and you'll move upon them. We pray, Lord, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We pray there be freedom in this service tonight. Pray you'll bless and encourage and strengthen your people. For the hands raised, meet every need, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Pray again for me, Auntie Eiling, to continue to touch her, minister unto her, strengthen her, bless her. For Andrea, bless and touch her as well. We thank you for what you're doing with her. Pray for Davy West, Don again, home and well. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We give you all the glory, all the praise. Now we're asking you, you'll save them. Pray you'll go again. Lord, as it were, you'll speak again. You'll move again. And Father, he's been visited by a minister, but I pray he'll get saved, that he'll make a clear, distinct decision for Christ and get saved. Lord, for others tonight that's backslidden, will you move on them and speak to them and draw them and bring them to your own self? And Lord, for your own people, Lord, that should be at church and should be here but don't come. Maybe, Lord, if things they're tied up with. Speak to them and move on them. And we do pray for those that can't come, that want to come, that you'll bless them and be with them. And bless all the nurses, all the doctors, your own people Israel tonight. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost now. Lord, I need your help, but I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit certainly is our helper in prayer. And I believe, and what other way can I say it? There's a lot of places they don't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the function of the Holy Spirit. But I believe it's of utmost importance that we believe in the moving and the functioning of the Holy Spirit. And we certainly need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ himself said, those that's going to go, and the second, the catching up, is those that's filled with the oil. And the oil in the Bible always speaks of the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's available. This is the thing about it. In Acts 2:38, everybody can quote it. But I'm going to quote you Acts 2:39. For the promises to you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, can the Holy Spirit be given. And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's given, and we know that God promised from the book of Joel that he pour out his Spirit in all flesh, your sons and your daughters, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions, upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out of my Spirit. And he shared, I can't remember which service, but from Corinthians, everybody quotes, from that which is perfect has come, that which is parched on the way. But will the please read the rest of the scripture? Because the rest of the scripture says that we'll see him face to face. For we're known in part, but we're going to meet the Lord. Now that's the coming of the Lord. And until the Lord comes, we're going to need everything he has available. And the same prophecy ceased, tongues will cease. And I'll tell you of Moses and Elijah over there with Israel prophesying according to the book of Revelations. So the Holy Spirit's still working. Even when the rapture goes, the Holy Ghost's still working. Did you realize that? Now I know some people preach when the bride goes, God takes everything away and the Holy Spirit is away and that's finished. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't believe that because I can't find it in the Bible. That's the truth of it. Because how can God work with Israel? The Holy Spirit will move in Israel. And the Holy Spirit will work in Israel. And God will send messengers to Israel. And then when you know, you study the book of Psalms, it says God's mercy endures to the rapture. No, forever. Forever. And we know there's the foolish virgin and the wise. But yet with all that foolish virgin, there's a group coming out of the tribulation, robed in white. They're still going to be saved. Still saved. Now I'll tell you one thing. And you'll have to agree with me. If you have a family member and they get saved and get in, isn't it better than being lost? Absolutely. Salvation's of the utmost importance. Now we do want them to come on further, certainly. But that'll be down to God. That's nothing to do with me or you. And even salvation, we know that God knows who's going to come. But we have a duty to preach it and believe it and go forward. We must pray in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And we cannot pray to do something in our own natural strength. We need the helper. Isn't that right? Our own natural strength would fail us. No matter how strong you are. You know, honestly, I was thinking of that man, Gary Walker, and I stayed in his home, and he used to tell me, he said, you know, he thought he was invincible. And this is what he said himself. He was quite a lump of a lad. And he thought he was invincible. And he was big into weights and everything. But when he was struck down in the car accident, he wasn't invincible. He was dead. And he was diagnosed dead. But God brought him back. And he had to get different parts of his body reattached, ligaments and different things. But God brought him back with a testimony. And it doesn't matter how strong we are or what can happen. Some wee thing could just put us down. Because the Bible tells us that this house we're in is frail. The scripture says that. And the Bible says about the flower that cometh up and it withers away. And isn't that the truth? We're depending on the Lord. That's what I'm telling you this. We're depending on the Lord. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. It'll help us pray. It'll help us get a hold of God. And this one, you know, it's one of the most important revelations in the New Testament concerning the Holy Ghost as our helper in prayer. And the Holy Spirit's our helper in prayer. And I believe in tongues, and I've believed in tongues for a long time. And I read about John G. Lake was a man that was mightily inspired in tongues. And, excuse me, Lake would pray in Latin tongues. Smith Wigglesworth would pray in Latin tongues. And Smith Wigglesworth made this famous statement. He said that he would never pray any more than 20 minutes in any day. But there would never be any more than 20 minutes in a day go by that he's not praying. Think of that. Now, you could be praying. I know it's nice to kneel down and pray. I'm a strong believer. Getting alone and kneeling down in prayer. Consecrated prayer in the closet, praying. But also you can be praying at your work, at the sink. You can be praying to the Lord. You see, the Lord's near you. And the Holy Spirit's been sent to help us pray. To help us. And we know even the Lord Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost. Led by the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, you never would have thought it. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? And yet when Paul was saved, Paul was led to the backside of the desert. It's not remarkable that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the desert and he led Paul to the backside of the desert. Now, God's a reason to do that. And you know, I often think of my own self. And don't misunderstand me when I'm saying this, because I'm nobody, absolutely nobody. I'm the least of the least. But God probably was trying to talk to me, but I had no time. But once I was locked up and by myself, then I had time and God could talk to me. And that's when the Lord talked to me and the Lord moved on me. I had plenty of time then. And sometimes we can be so busy that we have no time. And God can permit things to happen in our lives to slow us down deliberately so that we can have time. It's a bit like the story of the lamb and the boy broke his leg. And he said, why did you break his leg? He said, because I loved it. And he said, well, if you loved it, why would you break his leg? He says, well, there was cat running and a wolf or something's going to eat it. So broke his leg and he could keep care of it. Nothing would get it then. No, but sometimes God does permit things so that he can talk to us. If we're not listening. Because the Bible says if we're true sons, he chastises us. Not the truth. Now, we don't want that. We want to be living for the Lord and serving the Lord, don't we? Let's read Luke 10, 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. So he rejoiced in spirit. And the Lord wants us to rejoice in spirit. Only by prayer that all things are delivered to us by the Father through the Son. Everything's to glorify God. Do you realize that? The Holy Spirit, I've been studying a bit on the seventh seal. See anything that anybody's afraid of? That's the thing you need to go at. This is my new motto. I'm telling you now. Anything that there's decoys round and everybody's afraid of, you need to go right into it. And I'll tell you, I'm studying something, and I was only in it 10 to 20 minutes, and I realized something. The whole thing about it was never to worship an angel or uplift an angel. It's to uplift the Lamb. But there's a problem that's going in. And I'm going to tell you something. At the beginning, there was only one angel wanted worshipped. He didn't want God to have the glory. He wanted the glory. And man today wants to worship an angel in front of the Lord. Now we appreciate angels, we appreciate all them things. But we can never worship an angel, never redeemed any of us. He couldn't. He couldn't come on our level. But God condescended. God took a low stoop. A low stoop. A real low stoop. And he lowered himself a little lower than the angels so that he could redeem us. He became us that we could become him. But I'm not going to go into that tonight. I might preach it Sunday. You pray for me, the Lord will help us. But I won't be bringing out of it maybe what you're thinking. It'll be all to uplift the Lord. That's what it's all about. If he's not getting uplifted, something's wrong. See, the Holy Spirit helps us. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Even in the prayer meeting, somebody can fall under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and they can pray right into the need. Isn't that the truth? I could say, right, we'll all pray one after the other. That would be good. We've did that before in meetings. There's nothing wrong with that. But if the Holy Spirit moves somebody, they can pray something, and you could be sitting saying, how did they know that? That's for me. How did they know that? They didn't, but the Holy Spirit did. It's a axiom of prophecy that it could reveal the secrets of the heart. It could prophesy someone and tell you it. That's the whole genuine Holy Spirit that does that. Because you see, God knows everything, doesn't it? And we need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need him to help us in our prayer. How many will agree with me? Sometimes you get down to praying. You pray things that you think, but there's times then God can lead you to pray for somebody or something. God can lead you. There's seasons for God can lead you to pray. You know, John G. Lake said he took this real feeling one night to pray for somebody and praying in tongues. And there was a person away over in the north country was dying and he was praying for them. But the Holy Spirit led him and they were healed and he wasn't even near them. You see, and I often say this when I go and preach places. You see, there's nothing wrong with bringing people up and laying hands on. I believe in that. But sometimes we can become dependent on that type of a meeting. And we don't think we've had a meeting unless somebody's come up and we've laid hands on them. But yet with all, God can touch you where you're sitting. The Holy Spirit can move on you where you're sitting. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you where you're sitting. You know, like Bobby's a witness. When I sat in James McConnell's meeting, and there was thousands in the meeting, James McConnell didn't get down to the platform and walk up to me and lay his hands on me. Nobody told that man anything about me. He wouldn't have knew me, couldn't have knew me. But he called me out and he spoke over me. And I'm telling you, I was surprised. How did he know the information he knew about me? God had to show him. God can do that. Now that was James McConnell. You say, but brother, he is a mighty man of God. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. I believe God can use any individual that will humble themselves before the Lord. I believe that. Because he says, on my servants, on handmaidens, I'll pour my spirit out. You know, that's such an important scripture here we have read. The Holy Spirit, help of our infirmity. We know the patience, hope, waiting. All them things help us in prayer. But the greatest and most divine helper is the Holy Spirit. It's good to have patience. It's good to have faith. All them things, well, we're trying to do that, don't we? But the Holy Spirit can move on you. And you know he's answered it. And I believe, like this scripture in Luke 18 from verse 1 down, you can read about it. And I believe in that scripture, we need to keep praying. But then how many will agree with it tonight? Sometimes you can pray a prayer of faith and you don't need to pray it again. God's done it. You prayed once. That's it. Wigglesworth often turned people away that came the second time on the platform. Chased them. That's true. He would tell them, no, I'm not praying for you again. I already prayed a prayer of faith for you. Believe it. I don't need to pray it again. So there's times we need to keep on, like the wee woman kept coming and kept coming. And then there's other times when you're in prayer and the Holy Spirit's helping you. Someone within you, you just know it's happened. How many knows what I'm talking about? You know it's done. Now, it mightn't look like it. but it's done. And you believe it, and you're under the expectation then. You know, and God's going to do it. That's a helper. See, he's a helper. He takes hold of the things for us. And we're, you know, if we're confused, ignorant, weak, that all these things, it's a fact, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us. He gives us wisdom in our ignorance. Turns ignorance into wisdom. Many times we say things we shouldn't say. We need the Holy Spirit's help. All of us are guilty. Even preaching. Many times I say to myself when I finish preaching, there's some of them things I shouldn't have said. You could be preaching a message and you're on the line and you leave it. And you make some comments and it can ruin it. Now, it could be the opposite way. You could think you're preaching and the Holy Spirit could move you to make comments and that could be the meeting. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need him when we're preaching everything. And I believe it. And he changes our weakness into strength, doesn't he? God takes the foolish things and the weak things to confound the mighty. That's what God can do. He pleads for us and in us. And he quickens and inspires us. 1 John 5:14-15. Or as you all would say, small John. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, if I was to ask you tonight, and I know I've been saying this for years, I'm going to say it again, because it's the truth. How do we know God's will? We'll read it. Testament's an old English word for will. So when we read New Testament, we're reading new will. The Old Testament was the will. Now we're reading the new will. And if the Old Testament was perfect, there's no need for another. Doesn't the Bible say that? How many believe that? Now, I'm not saying it is the truth, but God was bringing the fullness of the word. See, that's when somebody says, I've come with the fullness of the word, that can't be right, because we already have the fullness of the word here. This Bible's the fullness. Do you believe that tonight? You can't work outside of this book. There'll be no new Bible come. When William Branham was asked the question, and it said, will it be another Bible? He said, no, it couldn't be, but it's already in this one. If it had said it was another Bible, that would have been false. It couldn't be another Bible. Now we know that God, through the stars and the universe, before we had Scripture, spoke to people. We believe that. There's evidence for that from the Bible. But now we have the book. And there's nothing needs added to this. Revelation tells us you're not allowed to add anything in it. And you're not allowed to take nothing out of it. So you're not allowed to put in, not for today. That's taken away from it. But you're not allowed to add in anymore and say, well, there's a bit here what needs added in. And it could only be added in at this time. You can't do that. It's always in it. Now, it might not have been known, but it had to be in it. But it was always in it. And there's nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. It always was there. Amen. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know his will. So we can pray. We know it's God's will to save. We know it's God's will to heal. Mark 16, James tells us as well. It's the Lord's will. And I often say, if we know somebody's got bad news, we keep praying. Now, God could supernaturally move somebody, or could give a word to them, or have a gift. All them things is wonderful. But outside of that not happening, I believe we keep praying in faith. Just like we do for somebody that's unsaved. Now, we don't know if they're going to be saved. We can claim it, we can believe it, but it's in the hands of God, isn't it? But we keep believing it. We keep praying. And that's what we have to do, keep on believing. And keep on praying like that wee woman in Luke 18. Verse 15. And if you know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. So this is even more. He will do it. We know that we have the petitions that we desire to him. God is saying he'll do it for us. If we ask according to his will. Amen. When we know His will, we can ask according to the will. And to know the will, we must read the will. Read the will. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. We must read. You know, let me tell you, I know all of us are probably guilty. I would dare say most Christians today don't read their Bible enough. I have no contradiction in saying that. Reading this Bible is so important. And many people get saved, and Rodney and me talk about this, and you know Rodney, there's a method in where you work with people that get saved to learn them that they need to read the scripture and they need to have a time each day with God. But a lot of people don't do that, and people get saved and they fall away as quick as they come forward. But they need to go on with things of God. And didn't Jesus say in the Great Commission to teach, to observe all things? And we as Christians, we need to come to church to get built up. There's things we have to do. It's not done for us. We have to dress ourselves in the morning, don't we? Well, the Christian life's the same. We have to wash our face. The Christian life's the same. There's a lot of things we have to do. Now, God helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. But we have to play our part. And God will play His part. You see, it's Him and us and Him. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's like the glove goes on the hand, the fivefold ministry. And then God works it. But we have to do our part, reading the Bible, listening to the Word of God. Maybe if you're not a good reader, the best thing's on the phone. Everybody, you see people today, they've the things in the ears. But that's good if you can't read well, listen it on the phone, listen to the Bible. Scorby's probably one of the best ones. And listening to it on the phone, listening to the Word of God. And it's so good. Many times if I'm going to preach from some certain scripture, I like to listen it over. And when I went through the book of Samuel, I would listen it a lot. Listen and listen and listen. And if I'm dealing with a certain chapter, I keep listening and listening to that chapter. And I tell you, it's good to do it. The Holy Spirit's making intercession for us. Romans 8:26. Now, I'm going to close and we're going to pray. He helps our infirmities. You know, when you combine the text here of Romans 8:26, we already read it, and you combine that with Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16, I'm going to read this, then we're going to pray. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So important to have the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So my children will know certain things that they've learned from me. And I know certain things I've learned from my dad. And you know certain things. And the Bible warns us about the bad. About the things from the forefathers we're to forget about if they're not good. So it's natural, men and women, we've learned from the parents before us. Because we're people, they're people. But now we're to learn of the Holy Spirit. And that which comes of the Holy Spirit's more than we naturally have. It's more, we can't do it of ourselves, what I'm saying. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. And you could look at a scripture and you might never understand it. But the Holy Spirit could reveal it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Peter couldn't have knew it, but God showed him it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God showed him it. And it's God that can show you things. Amen. And the Bible says He can show you things to come. Isn't that wonderful? God can show us things to come. Look at verse 11. For one man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of spirit. And I've noticed that certain people, and if there's anything supernatural, they will condemn it. They're not for it. And they want to find out all the faults. And if you were to do a study on them, they're not spiritual. They've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're against the gifts of the Spirit. They're against the moving of the Spirit. So if you're for the moving of the Spirit and you are Pentecostal, well, then that's not really going to be much help, is it? Understand, I'm not talking about everywhere, but I'm just saying that's how it is. And the Bible's telling us that. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now I know if a man prays and devils are cast out of somebody, I know that wasn't the devil. How many will agree? That was the Holy Ghost and that man. I know that. Even in the Bible that said he was casting out devils and we forbid him. He wasn't of our party, our group. He didn't see it the way we've seen it. Well, Jesus says you better leave him alone. Because such the one's not talking lightly of me. In other words, I'm still with him. Even though he's not in your group, I'm with him. That's why the devils are moving. It's my spirit on him. Spiritual with spiritual. So you see, we want to be with people that are spiritually minded. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Run with a hare and hunt with the hounds. Do you ever hear that saying? But isn't it true? We want to be fellowship with people that believes in the truth. If we're going to go and pray for somebody, we need people with us that believe in doing that. Amen. It's like getting saved. Some people don't believe in that. They believe in good works. When then you see they're not believing getting saved, so they don't want to hear nobody preach to them getting saved. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, you know the world's famous saying, how could you judge me? And that's the way they go at you. You can't judge me. I'll be, you know, flying the flag, and you know what I'm talking about, and all the things that we know is wrong. And the first thing they'll say, you can't judge me. No, but God can. But yet the Bible says here there is people that can judge because they're under the Holy Spirit. Let me read it again, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. That's some verse, isn't it? Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And I'll tell you, we need to be praying for God's mind. We need to be praying for God's mind. And when we did the tabernacle, you know, the gold, the bit on the head and the gold around it, because it speaks of the deity, supreme deity. Christ had God's mind. And we need the mind of God. The gold, the deity, that's always the Lord. That's deity. That's the mind of God. And Jesus says, I only do what the Father shows me. Let's come and pray tonight. Now you can pray a natural prayer. And you can pray a spiritual prayer. There's one fella, you know. I'll mention no names, but he come to a church. He come to a church. John Noble used to say, boar, do you get oil? John Noble used to say that, you know, boar, you get oil. And John definitely was anointing. There was an anointing on Big John. But we went one night to hear this other man, and he come to a certain denomination, and he was 2 hours on it, but I was glad to get out. And he said, I believe in and going to get the anointing. And I says, well, I'm glad you've stopped. I said to myself. But I usually look at it, if you're working in the anointing, when you feel it's time to quit, you quit. When you feel it's time to quit, you quit. But there's people who don't know when to quit. They put the cake in the oven. And it can say a certain time it's done, but it's never done as burnt. And this fellow was going and going and going. The best one ever I heard was a wee man in Dublin. Do you remember when the Canadian came? And he was about 3 hours. We were all wet behind the ears. He's going to give us all a good education. And he was giving us all, he was brought to our meetings one Sunday. And the wee man says, "Have you heard of the Blarney Stone?" But he didn't know what he was talking about because of the accent. He couldn't hear him. And he says, "I think you swallowed it." But the minister, this particular minister, didn't know what Eric was saying because he couldn't understand his accent. That's the same Eric that said, he says, the priest called him in. And he says, the priest took him with a whip. And he says, "Eric, you and Martin Luther's a lot to answer for." Eric was putting himself in high esteem, wasn't he? Let's come and bow our heads today and let's seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. Where do we get it? There's oil. There is oil. May the Lord give us oil. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for the word of truth. We know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. No man knoweth him, save him the Son will reveal him. Father, we thank you tonight for your salvation. And we thank you from our hearts for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, every one of us need more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, won't you move afresh in every one of us by the power and the gift and the working and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, even in this room tonight. Bless every brother, every sister. Help each one of us to be led of the Spirit. And when we're preaching, and even during the day, Lord, help us, I pray, as we acknowledge you in all our ways tonight, knowing you direct our paths. Bless the service tonight that remains, and help people to pray prayers that maybe they didn't think of praying, but may the Holy Spirit lead them to pray wonderful prayers. And bless for this weekend. If thou wouldst tarry, Lord Jesus, we'll not do anything except you help us to do it. And Father, we're looking to you for your help, for your guidance. Pray again for Brother Brian tonight over in Australia. Continue to minister unto him and strengthen him up after this operation, and for Brother Hart as well, strengthen Hart as well, Lord Jesus. And bless him, we pray. And all those that are sick or laid aside in their own fellowship, we think again of wee Laurie tonight as well. Touch and bless wee Laurie, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.